We want to ask the question today, who has ascended into heaven? And do we go straight to heaven when we die? Or, well, we forbid that other place. Well, today's message is entitled, Going to Heaven. Not so fast. Because we really need to consider what we believe and if it matches with what Scripture says. It's easy to follow tradition unless we read the Bible ourselves and discern what it has to say about a matter. It's been said that our minds are like a funnel. What we put into our minds leaks out unless we continue to pour back into it information. And tends to forget what we originally learned. So we have to continue to grow and learn. Ever watch a movie and then watch it again after a few years, only to have forgotten what much of it was like? Our memories get blurry over time. Details come out of movies we watch a second time, and we think or we say to someone we're watching the movie with, "Wow, I didn't remember that." It's true. The point I want to make here is that we need to continue to read and study the Bible for what it says, and not what others say it says. So don't believe me, believe what your Bible says. Confirm what I'm saying to you today, either it's true or untrue. We don't want to live by traditions of men from the 4th century. We want to go back to the 1st century and live according to what they understood to be truth. What we're going to find out today is that the followers of Scripture and of Yahshua did not believe what most of the churches teach today about going to heaven. To do this, we have to go back to the beginning to start to get a better understanding of some basic scriptural concepts. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We recently did a Revealing the Truth episode in which I mistakenly mentioned that the Hebrew word ruach as breath for this passage of Scripture, that I mentioned that the breath was the ruach. Well, now while the word was incorrect, the concept was true. That is, the air that was breathed to give life to Adam was evidently spirit, which is also what ruach means. And you find this in Scripture, certain words have multiple meanings, and some meanings have multiple words. Brother Donnie Miller put me to the test and said, did you know that there are, not that you put me to the test or anything like that, but you asked me, did I know that there are different words for law? I said, well, I'm assuming that there is, so I looked it up. Turns out there's about 5 or 6 different words for law, instruction, this type of concept. So we have to consider these things. Now, there are not only Hebrew words that have multiple meanings, but also Hebrew words that have the similar meanings. And someone once said the 3 main rules for Bible study are context, context, and finally, context. And this is certainly the case for word studies and concepts formed from those words. In Genesis 2:7, one of the concepts in context is that man became a living soul. A living soul. Soul. Taken from the Hebrew word nefesh, is essentially a word meaning life or being. But that life is still not eternal. Eternal life is something that we seek after, and Scripture also confirms this. But the ultimate power which is able to give eternal life is from heaven, and even if we accept Yahweh's only begotten Son now as our personal Savior, we are not yet born from above. So how do we explain the following? 1 John 2, 29, and going into chapter 3, verse 2. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of Elohim, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Is this saying that we are born again? It is saying that we're born of him. Maybe this is one of those areas of Scripture we need to take a look at in context of clear Scripture, because we've all heard it. people are born again. I'm born again, brother. Really? John 3:3-7. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of Elohim. Nicodemus said to him, this is, of course, a rabbi back at that time, a teacher of Israel, how can a man be born when he is an old man? He is not able to enter into his mother's womb for a second time and be born, can he? Yahshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born from above. Without this clear scripture, we wouldn't be able to explain what truly being born again means. Yet many say they are born again already without understanding the scriptural understanding of being resurrected. Conceptually, we can understand that we are new creatures in Messiah. New beings, in a sense. Internally, inwardly, going through a change and conforming to a new spirit within us. But we are awaiting a change to come, which is yet future, a time to truly be born again, born from above. At what time is that, though? Is it when we die? I'm not wanting to go to this next scripture just yet, but is there a process scripture gives us for going to heaven, being born of water and born of the Spirit, spoken of by Yahshua, appears to be speaking of baptism into water and receiving a special portion of Yahweh's Spirit with the laying on of hands by the eldership and Messiah, which is part of the process today. Before all that, one needs to repent of former sins. Can a child do that? What does a child have to repent of? Can he understand what repentance means? I don't think so. But that is a teaching that exists in many churches today, stemming from around the 4th century, I believe. When thinking about it, who has ascended into heaven, we can start to answer some fundamental questions such as, will we go to heaven when we die? What did those following scripture in the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, understand? Okay, let's go to this scripture now. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Messiah, or the Master himself, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet call of Elohim. And the dead of Messiah will arise first. After that occurs, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air. And so we will be with the Master forever. And of course, we could look at other scriptures in which Revelation declares in other areas that basically we're coming back to the earth with him. So this is a whole process being worked out. But what was the first century understanding of going to heaven? That we go straight to heaven when we die? It doesn't appear that that's the case. It says here the dead will rise first in Messiah when he returns. So it's a process. And it should be pointed out that there was teaching in the first century of no resurrection by the Sadducees. Were they correct? 1 Corinthians 15:13-14. If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. It's all worthless. Like the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, author kind of, nothing new under the sun, it's all vain. Sounded like a depressed individual, if you ask me. Maybe he needed some Xanax or something, I don't know. But 1 Corinthians, let's see, where was I? Okay, here, 1 Corinthians 15:13. Did the Apostle Paul think there was somehow not a resurrection? No, he strongly testified that there was, and that there was a timetable for it to occur. 1 Corinthians 15:16-20. For if the dead are not raised, not even Messiah has been raised, and if the Messiah has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now, Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Asleep is a very strange thing to say, if indeed those in Messiah go straight to heaven when they die. But what is the timetable for the resurrection of the saints who have died in the Messiah? We've already read 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17, that the dead in Messiah arise first at his return. Let's continue here. 1 Corinthians 15:23 through 24. And the reason we're going to go through these scriptures, sorry about that, back in the control rooms, flipping the switch, going back and forth. But, you know, one of the reasons I'm going through these scriptures, and we're going to cover quite a few today, the reason I'm going through these is because we were recently presented with some scriptures that seem to be saying the opposite. But they're unclear scriptures, at least unclear when you take them out of context. And they're unclear, certainly, when we take them from clear scriptures, such as the ones we're going to look at today. And, of course, we could do a Benjamin Franklin close or a Benjamin Franklin process of thinking how to discern a matter, whether or not we should do something or shouldn't do something, or whether an item should be done or shouldn't be done. Basically, he would take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, and put on one side pros or the four type concepts or ideas that he had, and then on the left the negative or the those things that are against the decision. So he could come to a better decision making process going through that. And in sales they do call that the Benjamin Franklin close. That's why I mentioned close. But it's something that we want to be able to do. And I think when we compare these clear scriptures with unclear scriptures, it becomes very evident that there's an overwhelming evidence that the clear scriptures are actually telling the truth, and that these ideas or the traditions that have come down to us are indeed false, and they're using unclear scriptures to try to prove their point, but their point falls when you look at the clear scriptures. So 1 Corinthians 15:23 through 24, thinking of the timetable for all these things to happen. But each in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits, our first fruit. After that, those who are Messiahs at his coming, then comes the end. And when he hands over the kingdom to Yahweh the Father, and when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. Messiah is the first fruit, which indicates there is more to the harvest than just him, which Paul does indicate. The timing is also given. The resurrection of those in Messiah is at his return. Is that return already taken place? Not unless we're all sleeping, or we were all sleeping when the trumpet blast blew, and the archangel shouted. Well, did you hear it? I didn't hear it. Okay. Here, the other question is: have we seen the Messiah come down? The Scripture says you'll see him. You know, anyway. Matthew 24:27-28. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even to the west, so is the coming of the Son of Man. Everyone's going to know. It's not going to be any secret rapture or anything that's done in secret or hidden. And if what we've been taught doesn't match with Yahweh's word, then we have to reject it. We have to accept Yahweh's word over man. We have to do Yahweh's will rather than to obey man. Not that we're to be disobedient towards men. I mean, the laws are out, in the world so that we can obey them. But if those laws tell us to bow down to some false deity, do we do it? Do we protest? Do we go out in the streets? Do we raise a cry? Well, no, not necessarily. Daniel, all he did was go and pray and worship Yahweh, doing exactly what he had always done. But things like the rapture or baptism of children or using only titles to describe the author of the Bible, these things are not appropriate. We should be like King David, who had a heart to obey and honor Yahweh, because everything else brings death, essentially. Psalm 31, verse 17. Do not let me be ashamed, O Yahweh, for I have called upon you. Let the wrong be ashamed. Let them be silenced in the grave. Upon death, everyone goes to the grave, which is the word Sheol here, not hell. The following is a description of the patriarch Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who lost Joseph for a time in Egypt because his brothers got jealous of him and sold him to the Midianite traders. They said a wild animal had gotten a hold of him, and they took his coat of colors with goat's blood put on it as evidence of his demise. Notice what Jacob said, Genesis 37:35. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So his father wept for him. A very sad time for Jacob. But that word is Sheol. And if we look at some of these words, we can look at Sheol, which is a Hebrew word. Basically means, according to the sources, a place hidden, covered, the grave or deep abyss. Also Hades is a translation of that in the Greek. Hidden place, covered grave, deep abyss. Limne to parus, which is Greek for lake of fire, which we do find mentioned in Revelation. Gehenna, which is Greek. This is a local fire dump, interestingly enough. And we won't get into all the aspects of this, but I would encourage you to look through these type of words to get a better understanding, because these are good words to look up in context, as the word hell is a translation, doesn't always mean conceptually a place of fiery destruction. In the King James Version, hell is listed at least 50 times, but the underlying word has to be considered as well as context. Again, context, context, context. Also, not understanding Semitic flowery language can add to the confusion. Now, the following has clear and not so clear language. Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. This is very clear. Okay, here comes the unclear part. Neither have they any more reward, for their memory of them is forgot. Okay? The first part of this verse is one of those very clear scriptures, and indeed is scripture. This is what they had in the New Testament times in their Bibles. Well, that was their Bible. Now, there appears to be some flowery language, some Hebrew flowery type language here in the second part of this, with the idea that their reward is forgotten. Some scholars point out that their reward is symbolic for labors under the sun. Of course, the author of Ecclesiastes brings that out. Concerning the memory, people do tend to forget. Those who have died and have been buried, just a few generations past. As an example, I have no recollection of who my great grandparents are. And even if I was told what their names were, I have since forgotten. So this is true what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying. We just have to consider the language of the time and what is being said. But the point is, there's clear scripture there. It says the dead know nothing. The question that following scripture presents is, can anyone understand in the grave? Psalm 6:5. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? This would have been the perfect time for clarification, for the idea of, once you die, you go straight to heaven or to hell. But it asks the question, who praises you from the grave? And the questions continue. Psalm 88:10-11. Would you work wonders for the dead? Would the dead rise to praise you? Selah. Pause. Is your kindness declared in the grave, your trustworthiness in the place of destruction? The Selah is a marker to pause or consider what was just said, or at least pause for the second section of Psalms, as these Psalms are actually written to be sung and not just necessarily read. But the point is, the Old Testament didn't teach of going straight to heaven when we die. Neither does the New Testament, though there are some unclear verses which, when taken in context of the clear, have to be understood differently, since the Bible clarifies itself. The following is a very clear and precise statement from one of the 12 apostles, Apostle John, John 3, verse 13. No one hath gone or ascended up to heaven. No one. Very clear. Except he who out of heaven came down, the Son of Man who is in heaven. This answers the other question we had at the beginning. Who has ascended to heaven? Well, the answer is very clear. That's Yahshua, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of Yahweh, the very one who came down from heaven. What does another apostle, the Apostle Paul, say? Does he say others are now in heaven? Remember, this is New Testament. This is first century. This is what they believed. This is what was understood. Acts 2, 29 through, or and verse 34, rather. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, a bone box essentially, what type of burial they had, is with us to this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Yahweh said to my master, set thou at my right hand. Not even King David is in or was lifted up to heaven. And this is significant because of the fact that David had a portion of Yahweh's Holy Spirit within him, as we do today. But even with this special or extra special anointing of the king and being given Yahweh's Spirit, what does the New Testament say about him? What was their understanding? Again, let's look at Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Yahweh said unto my master, set at my right hand. Now this is a quote from Psalm 110, which is in context speaking of Yahshua the Messiah setting at the right hand of Yahweh. So when they're saying only Yahshua has ascended into heaven, Yahshua is there now, King David isn't there, he has not ascended, they're being very matter of fact with this, and they're making it very clear, and they're bringing out some other things, even quoting the Old Testament, because that's what their Bible was. These New Testament books were letters that were written, but we have them as evidence for what they believed. It says, for David is not ascended into heavens, not the first heaven, not the second heaven, not the third heaven. And this is key to understanding other scriptures that seem to be saying, like, Enoch and Elijah has gone to heaven. We have a message specifically on that. We also have writings on this. And I'd recommend those be reviewed, but we won't have the time here to go into it. But we can continue to consider what is said of David, which would apply to everyone else, of course, except Yahshua, who the statements have already been made. He's the one that went to heaven. Acts 13, verse 36. Now when David had served Yahweh's purpose in his next generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. Death is described as asleep. This is what happened to King David. He didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to hell. It was in the lake of fire, as many would describe it. But he basically just died. He fell asleep. And in the future, he will be resurrected. Why? Because this is what Scripture teaches. Don't take my word for it. Open up your Bibles and look. It's saying it very clearly. And this is what was understood in New Testament times. We're pulling both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we should do. We should take it all in context. In fact, we should ask, what was Yahshua's own teachings to the peoples? Okay? Telling the truth to the peoples. We're to tell the truth to the peoples, whether the peoples like it or not. I mean, they wanted to kill Yahshua because of his teachings. They didn't like what he said. Contradicted their doctrines, their teachings. John 6, 38 through 39. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Okay, raise it up on the last day. Raise what up on the last day? A reward, an assignment for people, what? Well, while Yahshua at times spoke in parables to keep the people in the dark about what was going on, in this instance, he actually clarifies himself so that there would be no misunderstanding. John 6 and verse 40. For this is the will of my Father. He's repeating himself, but he's going to clarify that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Okay? The dead stay dead until a future resurrection. Even if those who are dead have died in Messiah. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. Then I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Yahshua and because of the word of Yahweh. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark of the forehead nor their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. They came to life. They came to life. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection, speaking of the initial coming to life. Blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of Elohim and of Messiah and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So the first resurrection is what we are wanting to be in. So what happens to our spirit when we die? Well, in the beginning, Yahweh breathed life in Adam, but as Adam died, so do we eventually. What happens then? Well, again, it is appropriate and vital that we go to Scripture for the answer. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to Elohim who gave it. His spirit, even his Holy Spirit, returns to him. And we have to understand there's some things that we don't necessarily understand in the spiritual realm. These things will be brought out fully for us later. And even, I think we read it today, we'll see him as he is. Then we'll know just what he is like now that he's fully spirit. He's been born again. We're looking for that time ahead. But the spirit goes back to Yahweh, plain and simple. The understanding was, whether we had a portion of the Holy Spirit or not, the spirit goes back to Yahweh who gave it. Again, what happens? What does Scripture say? Let's not forget Psalm 146, 1 through 4. Praise Yah. Praise Yahweh, all my soul. I will praise Yahweh while I live. While I live. I will sing praises to my Elohim while I have my being. Do not trust in princes or mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, in that day his very thoughts perish. And this agrees plainly when it says the dead know nothing. They don't plan anymore, they don't work, they are simply asleep, just as King David is asleep, just as Lazarus was asleep, and Yahshua woke him up. Did Lazarus go, oh, wait a minute, I want to go back to paradise? No. Just woke him up out of his sleep. Now it just goes to show the power that Yahshua has over life and death that's been given to him, and it has been granted to him from Yahweh. But what happens to our understanding if we don't continue to study the Bible or rely on you know, the teachings that are out there from people we think have the truth? Now let's go to 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. Do your best to present yourselves to Elohim as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people into more and more wickedness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved, or have departed, as some translations say, from the truth. They've swerved from the truth. They've gone off the beaten track, the path of Yahweh's word that leads into eternal life. They've strayed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. So Sometimes I wonder if the going to heaven doctrine wasn't already started at this point, that it started at ground zero. But the scripture tells us it was false, teaching that there's no resurrection. Essentially, that's what, and you know, when we look at the timetables of when that resurrection is, the first resurrection, of course, we get into the second resurrection and these type of things. So it's interesting just to consider these things. But it was an error at this time in the first century. It's also an error in our day today to think that somehow people have already been resurrected to heaven. It is contrary to what we find clear scriptures telling us today. Prophecy points to a time ahead for things to take place. Things such as the Great Tribulation, or the resurrection to judgment, or the resurrection of eternal life. It's all still ahead of us. And while the following isn't necessarily in chronological order, and I found other areas of, you know, I think we found other areas of Revelation that isn't necessarily in chronological order, but it does still confirm that these things are yet ahead of us. Revelation 11 and verse 18. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time of for the dead to be judged, and for the rewarding of your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. The wrath of Yahweh, the great tribulation, the giving of rewards, destroying those who destroy the earth, hasn't happened yet, but it will. And Yahshua himself warns us not to be deceived, but to know what is yet to come. He tells us, just like Yahweh tells us the end from the beginning, he tells us ahead of time. He says, see, I have told you already. But John 5, 28 through 29, this is Yahshua speaking. Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have practiced evil matters to the resurrection of judgment. Who has ascended into heaven? The answer is Yahshua. And no one else at this time. Do we go straight to heaven when we die, as is conceptually, or is conceptualized today, with brethren receiving wings and entering into the pearly gates of heaven and resting on clouds, looking down to earth, playing harps? The answer from Scripture is a resounding no. So we have to be aware, and we have to understand what the truth is. Otherwise, we will be deceived. There's some things coming in this world that are going to be very powerful, deceiving tools that the devil will use. But if we know the truth of Yahweh's word, we will not be deceived into believing falsehood and worshiping something that is false.